Today on The Balanced Word, be encouraged by this. God knows all and sees all. That includes your pain.
You may spend some days wandering around and people are chasing you and you just feel like a fugitive. And the one-armed man, you've got to find him. And God's going, no, I see it all. You don't shed one tear that I don't catch. And there isn't one thing you go through that isn't written down forever. I know it. I remember.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Are you in the middle of something right now and it appears there is little to no hope? You're overwhelmed or even depressed. Be encouraged as you hear the life story of a man in that very place. Yet God was on his side and with him, and that made all the difference. Today on The Balanced Word, we bring you Psalms 55 through 57, which describes a season of desolation in David's life that can encourage us all. Here's Pastor Dave Rall.
He says, though, let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell. I'm not going to do it, but if that's what happens, wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. But as for me, I'm not going to do that. I'll call upon God and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, all day long, I will pray and cry aloud and he'll hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. That's a good line there at the end of verse 19. If you don't change, you don't fear God. If something isn't happening in your life where you're growing, you're not seeing God the way that you need to see him. If you're in a rut, if it's been a long time since you've seen growth in your life, the problem is your relationship with God. Stagnation spiritually is something that we should all be afraid of because it means you're dying. You're dying on the vine. Your life is spiraling downhill. It's so important that we open ourselves up to the Lord and let him do changes in our life, modify us, work us over, fix us, and repair us. But those who don't, they'll be destroyed. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. One reason why David was so tormented is because he saw what was going to happen to the people he loved who had turned on what God wanted them to do and turned on him. And so his agony wasn't just for himself, but his agony was realizing what was going to happen to people who would take him on as an enemy and thus take on God as an enemy as well. And it was hurtful. David never got over this. I don't think he ever got over losing his son in a battle against himself. After David, you know, they finally had the victory and Absalom was killed and word came in, David was just falling apart. Ahithophel was killed at that time too. And David was just completely depressed. See, he didn't want to win. He wanted God to have his way. And it ended up, the people were celebrating because they had won the battle. And David's general, Joab, came in and goes, David, I know you feel bad, but look, you're the leader. You better suck it up and get out there and be a leader. And so David shook it off and went out there and put on a brave front. And he did what a loyal, responsible leader does. But deep inside, he never got over the pain of this, the wound of it. And he wasn't asking God to destroy them. He was mourning for the fact that he knew if they didn't change, God was going to have to destroy them. And that's what happened. Psalm 56. David wrote this when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Remember that story? And this kind of is a progression. At first, he was turned in by Doeg, and then he was getting turned in by different people. Finally, he had no place to go, but he went to Gath, the Philistine city. He figured they would accept him there because, you know, Saul was after him and the Philistines hated Saul. He thought he might be kind of a legend there in Gath because it was the hometown of Goliath and he had killed Goliath. So he comes strutting into town wearing Goliath's sword, and that just wasn't quite the right attitude to take. They didn't accept him as the conquering hero. I've probably used the illustration before, but as a kid, as a Dodger fan, after Juan Marichal hit Johnny Roseboro over the head with a baseball bat, I hated the Giants like I've never hated the Giants before. And later at the end of Juan Marichal's career, Marichal, one of the greatest pitchers of all times, the Dodgers signed him. But the Dodger fans wouldn't accept him. They booed him every time he went out onto the mound. He was performed in disgrace, and they ended up cutting him after a month or so. Because the guy who would do that to the Dodgers, we don't want him on our team. It was kind of hard for us as Laker fans to accept Kareem Jabbar coming to the Lakers after what he did for us when he played for the Bucks. Even Wilt Chamberlain coming over from the 76ers. It's just not so easy to change sides. You know, those feelings run deep and they run hard. And so David came to Gath and they're like, no, I don't think so. And they captured him. They go, this is the guy that they sing about him. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. I smell a rat. This is a trick. And so the king captured David. When they dragged David in before the Philistine king there in Gath, though, David was thinking quickly. And he just started acting crazy, just spazzing all over the place, drooling all over himself, acting like he was completely out of control. And the king said, what are you bringing a nut like this into me? Turn him loose. And that's how David escaped. It's not a bad tactic to get out of trouble in certain situations, but in this case it works. And he prays this, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. I'm running out of options. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. There are many who fight against me, O Most High. I have no place to go. But whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? I love those verses 3 and 4. And when you're afraid, sometime you might want to pull this one out and read these. Whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. And if you truly fear God, you won't need to fear flesh. God created it, and he can destroy it. Like Bill Cosby said in his book on fathering years ago, he said his dad used to say to him, look, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world, and I can make a bunch more that look just like you. God looks, and he goes, you know, these people, they aren't a threat to me. I can handle them okay. And so he says, all day long, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They get together, they hide, they mark my steps. I'm being followed. They lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity and anger? Cast down the people, O God. They're surrounding me. I'm not getting any rest at all. But God, you number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? He realizes that though his life has been really difficult, God sees it all. And he keeps track of it all. He keeps a book, in a sense. And I don't know if it's a literal book or a literal bottle, but the point is, everything that you're going through, as you're wandering, as you're running, as you're scared, God sees every bit of it. Every sparrow that falls, God is there. He sees. And he knows everything that you've been through. One time I was talking to my sons about the fact that God keeps all our tears in a bottle, and that when you cry, he notices and he pays attention. And my son Danny, one day he was sitting on my lap and he looked at my head and he said, Dad, does God have all your hair in a bottle? I hope so. But God knows. And that was important for David to acknowledge. And it's important for us to know, too. You may spend some days wandering around and people are chasing you and you just feel like a fugitive. And the one-armed man, you've got to find him. And God's going, no, I see it all. You don't shed one tear that I don't catch. And there isn't one thing you go through that isn't written down forever. I know it. I remember. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. David knew that. I hope you know it. I hope you know God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? In God, I'll praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? David knew God was on his side, and as a result, he said, I'm not going to be afraid. It's interesting that he says that, but you can tell he's really afraid. And for us, there are plenty of times when we're afraid. When I was a kid, I would do anything. I would do really crazy things. And people admired, if anyone admired me, I didn't have a lot of admirers in those days, but people who did would often say, the thing I like about you is, Dave, you'll do anything, or you'll say anything, or you're fearless. I was scared to death the whole time. The whole time growing up, every crazy thing I did, I was always scared. But I acted like I wasn't. And I didn't let fear keep me from doing something if I otherwise thought I ought to do it. It got me in a lot of trouble. But David is here going, I'm scared, but I won't. I won't give in to that. God, I know you are for me. I know that you're on my side, that you're supporting me. And if you're going to support me, I'll take on everyone else. If we allow fear to keep us from doing things that we otherwise think we ought to do, saying things that need to be said, if fear holds us back, as it so often does, how many times do you just think later, I wish I had stood up. I wish I had spoken up. There are plenty of times, too, where we do speak up, and then later we think, I wish I hadn't. I should have just shut up. I should have just let it happen. You see someone who's being victimized and, you know, you want to come to their defense and it all comes back on you and they all turn on you and you're like, why did I even get involved? Hey, don't think like that. We don't live our life by fear. We live our lives trying to do the right thing and saying, whatever they're going to do, whatever the cost is, I just choose not to live by fear. If you choose not to live by fear, you're going to have a painful life sometimes. It's going to hurt, and there are going to be times when you're pretty much alone. But the alternative, to live the life of a coward, to live life like there really isn't a God, to live life like you just can't trust him, then you'll look back at your life and say, I had chances to speak up, and I didn't do it. I had chances to share my faith with someone and now they're gone and it's too late. I had chances to show people what a godly person really is and I chickened out. I'm sure that all of us have had experiences where we wanted to do something, maybe something like going on a particular ride at an amusement park. We wanted to do it, and then we chickened out. We talked ourselves out of it, and then later just thought, why didn't I do it? Everyone else is talking about, oh, yeah, remember when we went bungee jumping? Hey, Dave, you didn't do it. The rest of us did. It was really cool. You had to be there, but what was it? And you take that long walk back down the ladder to the high dive, and just everyone's looking at you. Don't live your life like that in any respect. Fear is something that is built within us to protect us. But mainly what fear is there for is to make us alert, to make us careful, to cause us to count the cost. It's not something that should drive us as to how we ought to live. In fact, I would suggest to you that if you haven't done anything scary in the last couple weeks, you're probably not living enough. Take some risks. I used to tell the teachers at Calvary that, you know, if you don't do something every month that risks your job, you're not doing enough. We ought to take chances. That's what makes life worth living so often, is the adrenaline rush of going, oh boy. Not foolishly taking chances, but realizing that if you're living life right, sometimes it's going to be scary. But that's okay, because God's on our side. The only thing I want to be afraid of is missing out something that God wants me to do. I hate it when I let my own fear keep me from doing something that could otherwise be awesome. I just hate that feeling later. And at the same time, even when you take risks and you fall on your face, it's not that bad. You'll get over it. There are very few risks that you'll ever take in your life that you can't take back. And even the ones that kill you just send you to be with the Lord. But ultimately, faith is usually just a deception. It's just the enemy's lie. It's his trick to hold you back, to cause you to feel like a big loser afterwards, and to just go, man, what happened to my life? What's wrong with me? Where's my courage? So David understood that. I think I finished reading Psalm 56, right? You've delivered my soul from death, kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. That's God, because God is for me. That's where I started. So I'm putting my trust in God, and I'm not going to be afraid, not worrying about what people can do. Psalm 57, David wrote this as he ran away from Saul over to the cave of Adullam. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I'll cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. He's saying, I don't have any hope except God. But God just comes through. I know he does. The king of Israel, who I was so loyal to, is trying to destroy me. And I don't have an army to defend myself. I have a few slingshots and a sword. But I know God comes through. And I'm going to see what he's going to do. My soul is among lions. I'm out in the wilderness. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. He's going, man, the only guys out here with me, and the Bible talks about them, they were all in debt and bitter and miserable. And he's going, what kind of an army is this that I've surrounded myself with? A bunch of losers. They're all complaining. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. See, God doesn't need elite troops. He doesn't need vast wealth. He doesn't need incredible brilliance in order to do his work. He really is in good shape with whatever he has. And actually, the more prone to being a loser you are, the greater the potential for God to use you. Why? Because he can get the glory. 1 Corinthians talking about the church. Not many wise men, not many nobles. Now, there are some wise and some noble, but not many. For the most part, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So David's going, here I am out in the sticks. The most powerful army in the known world is after me, cornering me. I'm hiding in a cave with a bunch of guys that don't even know how to fight. But God, you can be exalted above the heavens, your glory above all the earth. Here's a chance for you to show your glory. They've prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. You're going to nail them. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Deep down inside, I'm hanging in there with you. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to celebrate what you've done. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. God will be exalted He will come through. He's on your side. I don't know what you're facing right now in your life that's difficult. I don't know what it is that you feel is against you or who is against you. But I know this, God is exalted to the heavens, above the heavens. And he's on your side. You're okay. He's going to stick up for you. He's going to help you. And you will succeed. He is going to pour his blessings upon you. Why? Because if he can take somebody like you and bless you amazingly, and hopefully you remember that it wasn't your brilliance, then God gets glory. And he loves to use people like us to get glory, because then you go, man, God is amazing. He could use someone like that. He's on your side. There are some who are against you, and there's a devil who's walking around roaming like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes you think you're getting paranoid. Maybe you are. But as somebody has said, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not after me. And they are after you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Well, let's finish up our time together in prayer now.
Lord, we do exalt you, and we desire to early in the morning and in the middle of the day and late at night to turn to you and to depend on you, to receive your love, to trust in your deliverance. God, thank you that you promised to rescue us, and you always will. I thank you for the knowledge that you being on our side doesn't have anything to do with how good we are, but it has to do with what your son Jesus did for us. And Lord, there isn't one person in here right now, no matter what we face, that can't know and boldly move forward in the awareness that if you're for us, no one can be against us. No one can destroy us. Lord, you always bring us up on top to your glory and to your praise. And we thank you for that. God, there are some people here tonight who right now are in the middle of something that it feels like there isn't any hope. And they come here kind of out of desperation, and they're looking at your word. But Lord, they could really use a tangible evidence sometime in the rest of this week. A whisper in the ear or a touch or a small miracle so that they'll know that you really are on their side. God, you know the hearts of the people who are here. Please, please work. You bring us to nothing, and that's okay because we are nothing. But Lord, help us to see you as the light at the end of the tunnel. to have the faith that David had when you encouraged him that even as he was in misery, yet he knew you'd come through. If there's someone here tonight who really needs to hear powerfully from you, Lord, I pray that even before they go to bed tonight, before they go to sleep, that you would give them a special word, a special scripture, maybe just someone going out of their way to put their hand on their shoulder tonight and let them know that you know what they're going through and that you're with them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you say yes or no to God? Not only in what you say, but what you do. Consider that with us next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play with.